Good morning. How's everyone doing? I didn't get any feedback on that. I didn't hear any. Yeah. Everybody's life's going great. Things are flowing in place. Everybody happy where they're at? Things are good, huh? Good. Well, you're in the wrong place then. It's the hospital for the troubles. We have a God who helps us in our afflictions. He does raise us up, but he doesn't necessarily take away all our stuff. How many know that? All right, we're in the third week of our series on overcoming temptation. And that's an important thing. So I'm going to give you some more methodologies to use. Because sometimes some of us think there is no way to deal with temptation. I battle it and I can't win and I don't even know how to battle it and I've given into it. And sometimes we give up because we've done it so long, so hard, and we want the temptation to leave. How many of the temptations don't necessarily leave? They don't. But why is it so important to learn, and that's the key word, learn, how to overcome temptation? And it's because this is one of the chief ways character is developed in our lives and character is maintained in our lives, is learning to successfully navigate and overcome temptations. So I want to talk a little bit to start off with the importance of character. Now, character, the word character, is defined by as the behavior typical of a person. It is your moral strength. Character isn't what you say your character is. Character is defined by what others say your character is. Moral strength is the ability to do right when you could easily do otherwise. So your character is defined by your ability to overcome temptations or not. Secondly, you need to understand this, that character is your reputation. What people say about you, your reputation, is really a defining of your character. Has anybody ever had anybody, have you ever been in a position where they did a character reference on you? Or you took somebody's wants to get a job and they want your character reference on this person? What they want is not your beliefs. They want your behavior. It's your behavior that determines your character. It doesn't matter what you say about your character. Your behavior will determine it. So regardless of how we define ourselves, if you're asked for a character reference, you are asked to give information about character. So character is determined by behavior, not belief. So how we handle temptations reveals our controlling beliefs. What you truly believe is what you will walk out. If I believe evil is good or bad is good more than I believe good is good, guess what? I'll walk out. So here's one way to get a better understanding of what character really is. Think of a person's characteristics. What are the things that characterize a person is their character? Those attributes taken together make up our character. So how would you characterize yourself as you're sitting there right now, for example? Are you a dependable person? Or are you inconsistent? Is your word your bond? Or is it not? Are you inconsistent? Are you determined? Or do you tend to give up easily? Are you resilient? Or do problems take you down? Do you tend to be well organized? Are you humble? Or would people say you're prideful? Are you even tempered? Or are you quick to anger? Are you self-controlled? Or are you emotionally controlled? Or are you substance controlled? Or perhaps even you're fear controlled. You don't want to be afraid, but you're afraid. And it controls things in your life. You know, there are such things as life dominating sins. Those are the sins that dominate our lives, which also give control of our lives over to them when we practice them, and they dominate us. And then there are the sins that interfere with the life we want to have. In fact, know this: character is the number one determining factor in an individual's success. It is the most important factor in whether or not we will be successful, no matter what area of life we're talking about. Vocational, your careers, educational, how far you go, your relationships, financial, physical, whether we take care of our bodies or not, spiritual, emotional. So the path then to obtain and maintain good character is learning to overcome temptations. Whose goals — there's always a mission in a temptation — are always to ruin our call, destroy our character, and derail our life. Temptations come with a purpose. It may be disguised as something awesome, but there's a purpose behind it. God's work then is to show us how to overcome the temptations, to stay on the right course, to grow in strength, and become what and who He desires us to be in our generation. That's why one of the chief reasons we need God. He has the power. When we speak of the power of God, that is the power of God. He enables us to begin to choose a different way to do life. Now, to do life differently, we have to be proactive in it. There is a saying that some of you probably know that sums up succinctly the results of giving in to temptation regularly. And not only temptation, but if you give in to good things regularly, if you push through on good things, you'll also get this. And it's this: if I continue to do what I always do — who knows the rest of that? I'll continue to get what I always get. If I continue to do what I always do, I'll continue to get what I always get. So what does that mean? If I want something to change, something has to change. Temptations have to be interrupted before they gain a foothold in our minds. I'm going to talk about this next week, because the battle is in the mind. This is the battlefield. I win this, I win the way my life goes. I lose this, I lose the way my life goes. Listen, before you and I do anything, we listen to voices having discussions in our minds. Have you ever noticed that? So the question is, what conversations are you listening to in your mind? What conversation has the most influence on you? Because the conversations in our mind, one of them will have influence. You know, it's like our parents, or at least my mom, used to say, "Show me your friends and I'll tell you what's going on in your life." Why? Because those conversations have influence on me. Who you hang out with, who you listen to the most, will greatly influence your actions, for good or bad, positive or negative. For who you listen to the most will influence the way you think about a particular subject. Listen and engage that conversation long enough, entertain it long enough, will lead us to a decision. And when that decision is made in our mind, we will do it behavior-wise. We may be able to delay it a little bit, but we will do it. So we'll be talking a lot about the mind next week, but I want to give you some more tools to put in your tool belt in dealing with temptations this week, and touch on last week's. So listen, as I said a minute ago, you and I have been given power by God to choose what voices we pay attention to. That's why having the Word of God in us is so important. It's a conversation I'm engaged in. If we look at the Bible like, oh my God, I gotta do this thing. I don't even know how to pronounce half these names. And this is a, you know, it's a burden to my life. I'm listening to some voice telling me not to listen to that voice. How many of us have, you know, had conversations with God? God! And then say, that's not really that good idea. How arrogant is that? Think about that. God's ideas aren't that good? Wow. Well, it just doesn't seem right in my own head. The conversations I'm having about it. Ew, that takes a long time. I like the Word of God, except the deny parts. I'll determine how that flows. So, Scripture tells us this. Temptations are like little foxes. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, it says this. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Okay, let's look at that agricultural example. A fox is a little animal, but he has tremendous destructive ability. So a fox will come in to a vineyard, climb up the vineyard looking for fruit. So if we look at temptation from the perspective of foxes, they don't seem to be that bad. They just don't seem to be that big of a problem. But here's what they do. They come in and they eat the fruit of your life that's already been produced. Fruit that's already there. Things that have been produced in your life, the foxes will eat. And not only that, it says, but they will also ruin the blossoms. The fruit potential. The blossoms that will become fruit, but are not there yet. It's still in the future. They will climb up the branches to get to the fruit. While they're climbing up, they will be breaking them. And so all the blossoms will start to die. And so what has been nurtured and built, sometimes for years, these vineyards, pruned and taken care of, in one day can be destroyed by a fox. And the foxes. Anybody know what I'm saying here? Anybody know anybody that's had that happen? You know, okay, well, if you do run across them, be sure and share this with them. So, but not only that, foxes don't live in the vineyard. They come when the fruit's there. They come there to eat, and then they leave. Just like temptations. Temptations aren't always there. They come there to with a mission. A fox comes with a mission. It's not to stroll through the vineyard. It's to eat the vineyard, to destroy the vineyard. And it will go away with the other foxes and wait for the fruit to come again. And wait for the vines to start to be repaired. And the gardener, who would be God in this case, comes and starts to trim away the vines that are not attached anymore. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So those temptations come to destroy that. And so what is the answer? Well, Solomon gave it right in the beginning. Catch them. You have to catch them before they do damage. Or catch them while they're doing damage and remove them. Not shoo them away. How many of us have done that with our little foxes? I'm so tired of you. I'm so sick of you. Get out of here. And then, you know what? I've been good for 3 weeks. Come here, little buddy. Come on back to Papa. Anybody do that? Yeah, we do that. Not realizing that there's a mission going on here. It's not to help you. It's not that it's furry. And this is the other thing. There's other foxes. Scripture tells us to kill it. To kill it. to stay on guard for the other foxes. They don't attack all the time when there's no fruit. You ever notice this? That when you're trying to make a change in the poverty, man, how hard that is. Now all of a sudden everything starts coming against you. The enemy doesn't mind if you're on the gutter. Try to get up from there. Oh yeah, now trouble's coming. Now he's going to do it. And sometimes he comes when there's a lot of fruit. We have to be diligent. But there is help. This is the beauty of God. Not to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to heal us. He came to restore us. He came to give us a hope and a future. He's got a plan. But we have to be proactive in it. There's help in overcoming the foxes of temptations. So last week, well, last 2 weeks, we're in the third part. Well, like I said, we'll finish it next week and really dive into the new thing, which is the mind and learning to control this thing. But I gave you three things with an overarching principle. And the first principle is this: temptations are a common part of life for everyone. Some of us fall into the mentality that once I've dealt with a temptation and I've dealt with it successfully, it should go away. Oh God, I keep praying for you to take this temptation away, and you don't. Maybe God wants you to learn how to deal with it successfully. If I only can deal with the temptation when it's gone, that's a problem. In some areas of our lives, we call that geographicals. If I could just find the right place where there are no temptations, I'd be okay. What do you think? The devil goes, oh, they moved. I don't know where they're at. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm in trouble now. They're moving. Oh, you know, he controls the air, right? He does. And he's got his friends everywhere. You know, he does. And this is the other problem with that. I'm still taking crazy with me. Yeah, there I go. There I am. And all the problems that were everybody else, I find out I still got them when I'm alone. So this thing has to be changed, and I have to be proactive in changing it. So we know that temptations are a common part of life. Get used to it. So that means I have to learn how to battle it successfully. Secondly, first, temptation is always an attack first on identity. You're no good. Why keep going? Why does this keep happening to me? God doesn't love you. If God loves you, why would he allow this to happen? Why would he allow this to happen when you were teensy weensy? Why would this happen? Why would that happen? Why would God do this? Reverse the attack. Oh, if you really belong to God, why do you keep doing this? He is so sick of hearing you come to him with the same old, same old. He's burned out on you. It's always an attack that you're not well, good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not worthy. You're too old. How many have done the too old thing? I've been doing this so long. Or the too young. I still got many years. Don't need to worry about it. Deal with it later. How many of us have the temptation to believe we're the exception to the rule? I am the guy that can play with fire and not get burned. All those fools keep getting burned, but I know how to deal with it. You're not the exception to the rule, believe me. And you're not the first one to have any of those thoughts. Everybody has them. Temptations are common. That's the beauty of it, and God's methodologies help us in that. So you know that temptations are common. One, it's always an attack on identity. You'll never find anybody. Settle for this guy or that girl. They're a living nightmare, but they are a girl. And in your case, that's a big step up. How many of us have done that? How many of us spend our whole time backing into relationship? What do you want in a relationship? I don't know. Somebody like me? Good enough for me. A connect? That's good. So, an attack on identity. And then second one we looked at, Satan operates from the perspective everyone has their price to leave God. Satan believes everybody's got a price. Well, what will it take you to walk away from God? What tragedy would have to take place? What situation would have to change? What would it take? You got a price. You got a price. Let me probe it enough. I'll find your price. That's what he said about Job. I'll find his price. Oh, the only reason you let him go, God, you blessed him. Take it away. Put him through pain. Put him through serious pain. That'll teach him a lesson. He'll leave you in a heartbeat. Third one, temptations distort the word of God. They lie to us, telling us we can test God. We can test God. I can do whatever I want and God will get me through it. That means you're God. I can disobey every word he says and still have a great life. I'll put God to the test. What did Satan do? He took Jesus to the highest place and says, jump off the, you're God's son, right? Jump off the temple. Sure, it's 900 feet down there. God will protect you. He'll put angels underneath you. You won't pay the price. Or we do the other temptation when it comes to distorting God's word. Instead of God testing us, we test God. Or we do this one. God should operate the way we want him to. I can't believe God would allow that. I can't believe it. Why me, God? Take stuff away, God. Still run away from you. God should operate according to how you think he should operate. Anybody ever fall for that one? Like this week? Why is God allowing this in my life? He's God. One of the biggest things I've learned is the sovereignty of God. He's a shot caller. He is the shot caller. My job is to trust him and follow him. No matter what. No matter what. No matter if I messed up a billion times or I've been walking strong, it doesn't matter. I get up and I follow him. It doesn't matter if it all goes south or it all goes north. So we looked at those. Those are things that we can tell ourselves when we're being tempted. What part of my identity is he attacking? Oh, my rejection thing, the thing that triggers me. Oh, my people-pleasing thing. Whatever it is. God, what a part of my day. I'm not secure in God. God has no plan for my future, so I better start making things happen. Whatever that is. So, we got those three. Today we're going to look at another couple ones. And the fourth one is this. Someone before you has successfully dealt with a similar temptation. Someone before you, and that's the key word there is successfully. Dealt with that temptation. They have learned to overcome. They are around us. Our minds will tell us we're alone. We're the only one. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It's all a lie. People have traveled before us on that path. And they have done it successfully. It tells us this in Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Technology-wise, absolutely. Human condition-wise, nope. We all want security. We all want love. We all want to have purpose. We all want to belong to something, someone, a group, something. We want to belong. So he says this, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. Some of us have this idea that God should be able to fix everything in my life. Some of you sitting here today, some of you listening today, deal with depression, which is the pushing down, the pressing down. You know what the answer to that is? Expression. Get it out. There is so much value in sharing what is going on with us. But what is the temptation to that? I can't trust people. If people really knew me, they'd reject me. I'm not safe. And, you know, it's not that we don't have these temptations because that never happened. It's that we put these blankets on everybody. Because this person or that group or this thing was not trustworthy. Nobody is trustworthy. No, there are people that have navigated what you're going through, even in that arena of trust. That's a big temptation for some of us. Don't share that. Don't share. Put on the good front. My house, we're Irish. We don't talk about feelings. Except the feeling to fight. We do that. Make no mistake. I'm driving the other day to the wedding. Oh, really? I got married, if anybody didn't know that, our worship leader. Last week, yeah. To my nephew. So now I'm Uncle Joe. So another Christmas present. Just kidding, Aurelia. Oh, she's not watching. You ever say something and then wish, you know, that probably wasn't the right thing to say. I want that filter before it comes out. Because sometimes the filter gets lost in there. But anyways, we're driving home from Riverside area. And we're on the 15. And for you guys from the IE. And we're in the fast track lane. And this guy, it's one lane. And this dude, he was almost in the second seat. He was so close to us. And he's road raging on me. And so I help him out. Slow down a little bit. Because I'm a Christian that way. And so it finally opens up to two lanes. And he jumps in that lane and he waves the bird to me. And I lay on the horn. Now remember, I got my 73-year-old sister-in-law with me and Therese. And they're talking. And I'm not there. I'm with this guy. And I don't know, you know, I think I'm thinking like I'm 30 years old. But if we would have pulled over, I'd have to ease out of the Yukon. That jump from the top of that Yukon to the street, I'm that guy that needs that step that you have to have now. But in my mind, we're going to war. And I don't know what I'd hit him with because I got a 72-year-old in the backyard, backseat, and, you know, what am I going to do? You know what I should have done? It's Therese. That guy's giving me a problem. Anyway, that's a flesh thing right there, and I was tempted. But I gave in to the temptation, and then I had to repent because Therese goes, what's going on? I said, you know, what am I going to say? I want to pick a fight with a guy I've never seen in my life before. In a truck that's hopped up. So he's obviously feeling macho from the get-go. So I had to repent right then. So even a seasoned Christian like myself falls in the flesh. What does that have to do with this except for telling on myself? Oh, yeah, expressing. I feel better. Woo! And you guys are trustworthy. So, and what's said in this stays here. First service didn't get that little tidbit. Special for you guys. All right. So, it's comforting to know that we're not the only one traveling any path we're on at any point in time. And there are others in front of us. In fact, Paul tells us this, how we can handle it successfully. He says in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires." Okay, that's a temptation. Sinful desires are temptations. "Which wage war against your soul." These things wage war against our soul. So how does it wage war? He says, one, you're foreigners and exiles. Your belief system has changed from what it used to be in the natural. Now you are a member of a new kingdom. You're a citizen, and you're also a family member of this new kingdom. You belong to the king. You're an exile and a foreigner or an immigrant. walking on this earth. What you used to do as a normal way of life has been interrupted. There is a different power working in you. You are from a different place, and God begins to give us different eyes to look at things. And he says, so you're still going to deal with these desires, and the end result of a desire is a behavior. And he says, this is what messes up our souls. We all have wounds in our souls. So as our belief system and our behavior line up, we become whole. What causes so much struggle in us is when we believe one thing and we behave in a different manner, we're in turmoil. We're in trouble. We are disturbed in our soul. I want to do this, but this is what I keep doing. And I'm in dissonance. I'm not in harmony anymore. And you notice that the more your belief system lines up with your behavior, you come to rest. You begin to get and maintain being comfortable in your own skin. You get to a place where we have peace. That is why it tells us here in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Walking. Who you hang around with will influence you. It will develop your character. It will cause us to behave in ways that oftentimes we don't believe in. How many have done that? Even when I was in my worst place, walking with God, I knew. In fact, I wasn't walking with God. I didn't even know God. When I was out there doing my thing, there was a part in me that knew this isn't what I was supposed to do. This is not good. This is not right. So this behavior was going on, but this belief was mess, and I was a mess on the inside. I was so jacked up. Because it was so not connected. I'm disconnected. So when God came in, my spirit is connected with God. Your spirit, if you belong to the Lord, your spirit is 100% A-OK. It's your soul that is damaged. And God doesn't remove that damage. He has us walk through it. But he says, be careful who you hang with. Be careful who you listen to. I'm giving you people, and I'm giving you my word, and we'll see that in a minute. But in Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man, happy, joyous, connected is the man or woman, or is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, walk with them, stand in the way with them, take the way they go. So I'm walking and I'm standing. It has everything to do with how I move or not move. And then the third one, he says, sit in the company of mockers. So in my life, I'm either walking, standing, or sitting. So are you. So that is what I need to push away. I remember when I got clean, I had to say to my friends, I can't hang with you guys anymore. I'm going a different route. And it was the hardest thing for me to do. I thought I could still hang with the people that were going in the opposite direction and still have the ability, that was the temptation, to walk this different path. How many have also had that thinking in any which way? Yeah. I can be faithful to my wife and flirt with every good-looking woman around. It's not going to work for very long. Something's going to happen. I can be intimate with my wife and have a major addiction to porn. That's not going to work well at some point. You know, and this thing with porn, I just want to talk about it because it's a big deal. One of the biggest industries. Why? You don't have to deal with relationships. You don't have to deal with her feelings. Oh, gosh, she's upset. You know, that girl on the phone's never upset. Wow. I don't want to have to deal with this and deal with that and deal with this. You know, I don't, and, you know. See, I always tell people when they're in the midst of whatever they're doing, I said, have you stopped doing it? No, then you're not really struggling with it. You're just contemplating stopping. You're contemplating to do something. The struggle comes when you say no. And now you got to deal with all the things that start coming up. And some of us think God should miraculously remove that. But he doesn't. Why? Well, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3, which is also the fifth method to deal with things. Not only does God have other people that have walked the path, number five says this, and I'll jump into Corinthians. Let's jump into number five first. Help comes through God and other foreigners traveling this path before us. Not only are they out there, like we said in step four, it comes through them. So there's two things that need to take place. One, they have to be willing to share their strength and their hope and their victories. And the methodology they use to deal with same things you're going through. And secondly, the person that is going through that has to be proactive and ask for help. And then take the advice. Or else it's not advice, it's just an opinion. Thank you for sharing your opinion. And some of us have treated God's word that way. That's an interesting opinion. How many of us have told people we're Christians and they go, well, that's good for you. You need it, man. Woo! Hopefully it works for you this time. And the truth is, you darn tootin' I need it. But he says this in 2 Corinthians. Paul tells us, all praise to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He's merciful. He doesn't condemn us. He's merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He helps us. And he says he's the God of all comfort. What does comfort mean? Comfort means rest. It means comfortable. You mean I can actually go through the worst of the worst that I don't even think I can survive? And there is a way to still get through that? Yes. You mean what I have gone through, other people have gone through, and they're available to help me navigate this? Yes. Yes. The temptation will be in your mind. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's the lie. You just deal with it. Nobody wants to hear your problems. That's a temptation to believe or not believe. Don't believe it. He says, he comforts us. He gives us the ability to rest and be okay in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And this is not comfort. Following Jesus, everything is good. Nothing bothers me. I can get through everything. That's a horrible mask. You know, you just need to pray more, read more. Get up and go. Have anybody ever run into anybody like that? How much comfort was that? That didn't help you at all. That's why God is merciful. He says, listen, he helps us. He comforts us in all our troubles. He's with us. Comfort means to have a shoulder to lean on. Scripture says to grieve with those who grieve, rejoice with those who rejoice. Know the season someone is in. So, and you really, you can only identify the season because you've been through the season. Like when someone comes to me and they're going through a nasty divorce. I've never been through a divorce. I don't know the pain and the loss and the kids that have to be dealt with. I don't know that experientially. I can have empathy. It's hard. But what I can do is I know somebody that's navigated that. I know somebody who somebody comes in and a fox is eating something in their life. And it's like, oh, I know somebody who's had that eaten too in their life. But God will help them. He's merciful. He comes to the vine and starts to bind up the broken branches so they can receive nurture again and begin to produce. And not only that, he can help us, and he uses humans too to help us to keep the foxes out. What to look for. What fences to put up. What to do. I don't know what it's like to have chronic illness and still walk with God. But there's some people in here that have that. I know people who have it. I don't have every experience. I have some. I'm more than willing to help people navigate those that I can give you God's word in all of it. But to come alongside, we need people who have been successful in navigating. Sometimes we think following God is all about victory, 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 victory. No, man, we're wounded. Here's how it is following God. It's like having a tattered coat and walking against the wind and maybe inching forward. And it's ripped and you're hanging on and you want to be in a fetal position, but you get up and you keep crawling. That's walking with God. That's following the Lord. The bravado of I got my act together and I'm doing this, that's a lie. What's really going? In fact, that's oftentimes a symptom of the most broken. You got no issues? How disconnected are you? And I'm not talking about wallowing in your issues. I'm talking about handling your issues effectively. And you may have to handle that issue for the rest of your life. I'm not seeing my kids again till I go. So I got to handle that. I got to handle that. Therese has to handle it. The boys have to handle that. So how am I going to help them navigate life if I can't navigate it? And how am I going to navigate it if I've never looked into somebody that's navigated it before me? How do you navigate this? Because a lot of the things you're navigating are first for you. They're first. How do you do that? We need help with that. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. That's God's power. Temptation not to share things because of my shame. My shame has kept me in bondage. My fear of people judging me has made me do things that did not line up with my beliefs. So it caused great disharmony in my life. Greater wounding. So he says this in verse 4. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Help comes through God, and it comes through people, his people, who have also navigated this world as foreigners and exiles, trudging this earth, but learned how to do it. He says, when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Why? Because we've received it. We learned how to walk with the limp. We've learned to find joy. May take a while. May take a while in some cases. Find joy in life still. There's still plenty good in life. There's still hope after what I considered to be the end. The game isn't over. In fact, Jesus said this in 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, I'll help you. All you who are weary, you're worn out. You're so disconnected, you're battling souls. Your soul is always in turmoil. You may have your makeup on great, but your soul is battered. He says, and weary and carry heavy burdens, too heavy for you to carry. Scripture tells us this, and I believe it's Galatians. He says, you need to carry your own burden, but when the burden's too heavy, you need someone else to help you. He says, if your burdens are heavy, I will give you rest. I will help you. I will comfort you. I will enable you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. because I am humble. You know, the root of the word humble is my feet are on the earth. I get what it's, I'm God. I live in the heavenlies. But I know what it's like to walk on the earth. Humble is the opposite of pride. Pride says I'm above everybody. And the opposite of pride, which is still a pride thing, it says I'm below everybody. Same coin, just different sides. You meet the person that always walks around thinking this is the end. I'm the worst. I'm the this. I'm the that. Hey, it's still all about you. Person, I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. Still all about you. Let's deal with that. Jesus says, I'm humble. I will not come to you pridefully. I will not take you and you're low and push you lower. I do not kick a dog when he's down. I do not blow out a smoldering wick. I help it. He says, and he says this, and I will give you rest. He says, listen, take my yoke upon you. Two yokes he's talking about. It's the animal yoke, a lot of you know. He says, hook up to me. That's what a yoke is. It hooks two animals. And I will be with you and give you the rest. I will help you carry the burden. I will help you. And then he'll bring others to help too. But the yoke also was what the Pharisees had. They had all their rules and they said, this is our yoke. And Jesus said, the rules you give these people, they cannot carry. And you don't carry it yourself. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. He says, let me teach you. Let me help you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart. Not only am I connected to the earth, I'm gentle. God, you know when you're hurting, you really need someone gentle. You really need it, you know. I have learned that when the kids scrape their knees, I need to be gentle. You know, it's like, you know, except when the grandson acts like, you know, we got to take a shower. Oh, God! That I'm not so gentle with. But when they fall down and scrape their legs, I'm a lot more gentle. You know? And some of us, we're laughing now because he's a 5-year-old. Some of us are 45 and we do the same thing. Or 50. My car won't start. Oh my God! Why is God persecuting me? The devil's attacking me. No, your battery's dead.
Preach it. Come on.
Yeah. Some of you think it's Satan's main idea to follow you around in life. He's running the world. He's busy. I know. So I know some of you are sitting there thinking, man, so-and-so should be here to hear this. It's not relating to me at all, but boy, do I know people. Some of you sponsors and mentors, my sponsee needs to be there. He says, listen, gentle heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Your souls. Life will still be going on. The ups, the downs, the expected, the unexpected, the wonderful, the tragic. What we never thought would happen happens. It's all over the place. Life is going to go like that. I've never met one person that got married and thought, you know what, I'll be divorced in 15 years. They don't know. Or somebody will die. That little 6-year-old kid being driven to school right down the street from us on the freeway got shot by a... I can't in a way. Just imagine, I know the grief. I know the grief that family's going through. Going to school and some crazy dude on the freeway shoots into your car and kills your 6-year-old. It's like, we don't know. But this is the thing. There's also good in the world. There's good in your life. And the temptations come to derail it. To have you lose your call. To give in to your circumstance and think it's over. You're not too old and you're not too young. You're just a human being. And God is gentle and He's humble. And when His kids have experienced that gentleness and that humbleness, not only from God, but from other kids, they can then turn, and they've navigated through their stuff, they can then turn and give that to someone else. Because so many of us have been in harsh environments, condemning environments. So know this, the God of all creation is for you, and He will help you through the temptations that you face regularly, and He will provide methods to deal with it. And don't undermine the importance of having people that are farther ahead that have navigated that. So what do? We look around. Here's one thing you can say to yourself. Who do I respect that has gone through what I'm going through that I can talk to? Who has gone through it? Who has a life that I would like to have in this particular area? Who has that I can talk to? And if the answer is, I don't know anybody, I'm telling you today, I know lots of people. I know lots of people that have navigated all kinds of great stuff. Who do I go to that will help me with going to school again? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't know what my career is going. Who has traveled the path? They have traveled it. God, this needs to be a prayer. Instead of God, get me out so much. God, show me. Who can help me? Show me. I'm not going to dictate to you anymore, God, and distort your word and dictate to how you're supposed to help me in this situation. That makes me God. I need my wounds bandaged by others so I can bandage theirs. We do it in every other aspect of school, life. There's not one person in here that knew how to read when they were little and came out of the womb. You had to learn how to read. Somebody taught you. Why would it not be different? Why would it be different in our soul? Why would that be somehow disconnected from all the other learning we get from people? But when it comes, there's two areas that we always do this in. Oh, I'm running late. I never do that. It's so weird. We'll talk about this stuff next week. Is this helping you guys? All right. So why don't we stand up? Let's pray. As I was talking, did anybody have some temptations just pop in your head? Foxes. Let's put it that way. Any fox is like, oh, that's a fox in my life. Oh, that fox comes to get me. Okay, let's pray for that right now. Lord Jesus, I just bless these people in your name. I pray that you will guide them and direct them in having bravery. Give them courage, Lord. Give them courage to do something different in the areas where the foxes keep coming in. God, give them a better way to catch them before they ruin stuff. Or more stuff in their life. More of the vineyard, Lord. For those that foxes have eaten a massive chunk of the vineyard, Lord God, let it stop here today. No more. No more. And then help us, Lord, to rebuild that vineyard. For those that the fox comes in and takes little chunks, and it just keeps setting us back, Lord God, give us strength. Give us help to kill that fox. And then God, teach us to be diligent against the foxes and bring the right people in our lives and make us proactive to seek those that can help us. And everyone who agrees, say amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great, great week.